I didn't know this until I started studying the reference that the Bible gives to you and me as living stones, but there is actually a plant called living stones. The official name is lithos. This is what they look like. They look like little rocks, but they are actually plants. Lithos is a word that means stone-faced or stone-looking. The plant is native to South Africa. It's a member of the ice plant family. And not surprising, you can buy it on Amazon. That just shock you? You can buy these stone plants on Amazon. However, this is not what the biblical writers had in mind when they wrote these words from the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 2, 4 through 8, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in Scripture, "Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed." The Apostle Paul likewise speaks about you and I being living stones in the spiritual house built by the Lord Jesus, Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. When he says in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Now again, we have been looking through the Word, finding metaphors, analogies that the Bible says we are like, trying to understand what it is to be a Christian, counteracting the world's concept of self-esteem with the Bible's description of Christ's esteem. We run headlong into this phrase, living stones. Now, two weeks ago, I started this message, and we had Thanksgiving last week, and then this morning I'm going to finish the message from 2 weeks ago. And there are essentially two truths that both Peter and Paul make in their respective words, scriptures in the Bible. And those two points are these. Number one, that God is building a spiritual house, a spiritual temple, and that Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone of this spiritual building. The chief cornerstone set into place uniquely and first among the others, And then we who are living stones are then placed into this spiritual house based upon the chief cornerstone. So both Christ is a part of this spiritual building as the foundational point, and you and I make up then the spiritual house along with every other believer, those who are heavenward bound. A couple of weeks ago, we emphasized that first point, that in this analogy of the church, that first and foremost, we have a secure foundation. Christ, the cornerstone, so that wherever our steps may take us, wherever you are in your life right now, whatever the circumstances, whatever it is you're facing, despite even how you may feel about your life in its current state, you can absolutely, unequivocally know without even a doubt or a fear that your life is being built upon the foundation that offers you utter and complete forgiveness of all your sin, that you're being built upon the absolute promise that God is able to work all things together in your life. All things. The things you did well and the things you did not so well. The mistakes you made, the sins you committed, all things God is able to form fit together in your life to bring about holy good. And that your life, despite where you may be, despite how things may look to you, your life is being built upon the absolute certainty that the moment you draw your last breath, your heart beats its final time, the moment that your body of flesh dies, that you will instantaneously be in the presence of God for eternity. That is the foundation upon which your life right now is being built and is form-fitted. But there is another promise in these passages that we read concerning our life and role as living stones. Not only do we have that secure foundation, but secondly, Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 5, that we also have a spiritual family. Not just a secure foundation, but a spiritual family, as he tells us that we, plural, are being built together into a spiritual house or a spiritual temple. In other words, just as I'm a living stone and you are a living stone in this temple of God, there are other stones living all around us. What that means in its essence is that you and I don't run this race alone. That we are not by ourselves in this journey of Christian living. The church has always been considered, and when I say the church, it's both the church universal and the church local. It's both the church of Jesus Christ all together and Highland Baptist Church. That you and I are part of both entities. The church has always been seen as a kind of mother. God is our Father, the Divine One, and the church is the caring institution that serves the role of mother. For instance, Cyprian, who was an early church leader, says no person can have God as his father who does not have the church as his mother. Augustine, one of the most influential and prominent church leaders of the early days, said, "Look, Mother Church is in labor. See, she is groaning in travail to give birth to you." John Calvin, a leader in the Protestant Reformation. People like Martin Luther and John Calvin are why you and I all aren't Roman Catholic. John Calvin said, "May Christians be guided by the church's maternal care until they grow up to manhood. To those whom God is a father, the church must also be a mother." So the church, the people sitting beside you, the people in your Sunday school class, the people you serve with in different ministries and activities in this church, the church is a caring institution that has your back. The church is who we turn to in times of crisis and need. As I was thinking through this, I just thought of so many people over the years who have given verbal testimony of how God had helped them get through the greatest crisis of their lives through the people of the church. Individuals, personal testimonies who had unique, critical experiences, who said, "Were it not for such and such and this person and that person in my church family, I don't know that we would have ever gotten through this difficult, terrible time." Others have given their testimony this way. They have said, "You know, my church meant so much to me when I went through this crisis time in my life. I don't see how people outside of the church who have no church fellowship, I don't see how they make it through life without the caring institution of the church of Jesus Christ." And again, what they are saying is, my church is so vital in my life. My church family, my church friends, my church pastor, my church staff, the people that I worship with are so vital in my life. They are the ones I turn to. They are the ones who are there in support. They are those who come alongside me, lift me up, and walk with me through the darkest valleys of time. You're not in this thing alone. Some of you could give like testimony. I've been there, and that has happened to me. Some of you will experience this reality in the days to come. Life can get so hard at times. Loss can be so overwhelming in this life. And it's people like you who care about each other, who will be willing to step outside of yourselves and be living stones of love and support and critical care to each other when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Listen to the Apostle Paul as he describes this kind of a situation in Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. He says, "Brethren, if a man or a person is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." So important was this togetherness of the spiritual house. So vital is this role of living stones, serving living stones to the Lord, that he tells us that when we bear each other's burdens, when I care enough about you that I will prioritize your life over mine, that I will care more about the difficulties you're walking through then I care about what I'm going through, and so I come to you in a spirit of service and ministry and love. The Lord says that when we bear each other's burdens, and the idea is that suddenly the load I'm carrying, we're told that each one of us is to carry our own load, but when the load I'm carrying gets compounded, and the load is heavier than I can bear myself, that you come up alongside and put your shoulder underneath the load I'm carrying so that my load is cut in half. That is bearing each other's burdens. And Paul says that when we do that, and this is an outstanding statement, when we bear each other's burdens, we are filling full to overflowing the law of Christ. The law of Christ, love one another as I have loved you. We are filling to overflowing. You want to know what it is to serve the Lord? You want to know how it is that you can have a ministry of the Lord and for the Lord and through the Lord? I'm telling you, you cannot do better than to bear each other's burdens. That's the highest calling. The highest calling is not standing up here and preaching. It's not leading our worship team, leading and singing. It's not being a Sunday school teacher or a deacon or a trustee. It is the highest calling to bear each other's burdens. And here's why. Because The world, when the world outside of these walls sees one of us slip and fall, he says, brethren, if someone is overtaken in any trespass, and the word picture that Paul is describing is one of us walking along our Christian journey, and suddenly we trip and fall, or we slip, as it were, on a banana peel and we fall, the world cackles at our failures. The world points their fingers of accusation and says, see, you're not any better than we are. Well, we've never said that we were. But they love it. The world outside, when some Christian falls. So the world sees one of us trip and fall, slip and fall. And they will do one of two things. They will either look at us and, let me find it. I'll tell you what they'll do. Hang on. They will defile us. They will ridicule us. Or they will ignore us. And they will just not turn toward us to help. But we as the church, we don't have those options. We as the church are called by Paul to restore such a one. We as the church have no other options than when we see one of the other living stones fall, but to go and help them up and help to strengthen and encourage and make them strong again. The idea is that when they fell, the picture is that they broke a bone, and we restore, or we bind that wound, and we help them to keep walking and keep going. So the good news is this. In fact, the incredible news is this. If you or someone in your family, if you were to fall, if you were to trip up in your Christian life and fall into sin, you would find in this spiritual house not fingers of accusation, not words of shame and criticism, nor would you find people who just turned away, ignored. But what you'd find are people who love you and who will come to you and walk with you through that critical time in your life. Not just when something happens to you, but when you cause something to happen. Brethren, when one among you stumbles, slips, and falls into trespass, the rest of the spiritual house go to restore them. That's what you're a part of. As living stones, we don't just have the secure foundation of the chief cornerstone of Jesus Christ, But we have the spiritual family of like spiritual living stones who will come to our aid and come to our side and be a strength and a restorer. The cry of the church is not, "You fool, you fool." The cry of the church is, "Redeem, redeem, redeem." That's what you're a part of. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's who we are as the spiritual house of God. Finally, what are we to do? Well, Peter says again in verse 5 that we are to offer sacrifices unto the Lord. And he calls them a priestly service. In general, the work of the priesthood was twofold. That was to present people to God and to present God to people. As living stones, we are to offer sacrifice unto God. And he calls it the work of the priesthood. The work of the priesthood was to present God to people and to present people to God, to introduce people to God. In other words, when we present God to people, we are witnessing and evangelizing. When we present people to God, we are interceding and praying for them. So let me ask you this. Are you involved in the work of intercessory prayer and evangelization? Now, please don't raise your hand, but answer quietly in your heart. Let me personalize it. Someone you work with shares with you in confidence a trial they're going through. Or maybe you have a friend and you just know by virtue of your friendship that there is a heaviness in their life, on their heart. And God is calling you as a part of the spiritual temple of God. God is calling you to present them before the Lord. In other words, God is asking you to pray for them. How many of you actually have the faith where you would go up to someone, coworker, a friend, an acquaintance, knowing that there is heaviness on their heart, and say to them, "Can I pray for you? Can we just go in this side room right now? Would you let me just pray for you right now?" How many of you have gotten to the point in your spiritual life where you are being used by God in this priestly service of the spiritual house of which you are a part, and you can say, "I want to bring you before the God I serve and ask him to bless you"? In the same fashion, how many are able to honestly bring a testimony or a witness, evangelize, and bringing God to people? When was the last time that you actually told someone how much God meant to you? Because you see, If it's someone you know, if it's someone that God has given you a burden or a heart for, why in the world do you think God is going to call somebody else to do it when He's already calling you to do it? You see, a part of being a child of God, a part of knowing who we are in Christ, a big part of being living stones in the spiritual house of God is being willing to be a holy witness unto the Lord and sharing your faith. Folks, seriously, are you involved in the work of the priesthood? Are you involved in bringing God to people or in bringing people to God in prayer? Who is on your heart right now? Among the people you work with, neighbors, acquaintances, friends, who is on your heart right now and why? Listen, celebrate the fact that you are a living stone in the household of God. Let your fear go. And in sheer faith, take the opportunity tomorrow and go to that individual and offer to pray for them right then and there, or share your witness, who He is to you, with them. At that time, the key in this whole thing, not your ability to speak, zero. It's not your winsomeness or lack thereof. The key to this whole thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is that God so loved you that He sent His only Son. And His Son Jesus lived a holy, perfect life. And then went to the cross and was crucified for my sins. He paid the price for me. And it is through receiving that gift that I can now walk in forgiveness and freedom, and that I can know that I'm going to heaven when I die. It really is that simple of a message. That's foundational in the work of the priesthood. Whether you're witnessing or praying or both, that is the fulcrum that balances everything. Your ability or inability to speak, your ability or inability to draw people to yourself. That has no bearing. It's the gospel. Celebrate the fact that you're a living stone And even this week, as we move from Thanksgiving into Christmas, do the work of the priesthood. You're a living stone, not a dead one yet. Celebrate the life of Christ within you. And be a living stone to another.